Oh man, oh man. So glad that we're here today. Lord's people, Lord's house on the Lord's day. Glad that you made it here. This is the third service. We're being joined in worship now on video by nobody. So we're just here in Rolling Meadows all together. And so it's just going to be, this is the last service. It's just going to be a little freer and a little easier. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm Luke. I'm one of the pastors here. And we've just been having a great time all weekend with these amazing truths that we're bringing. This is Carry Week 2, What I Can and Can't Do for You. And what we've been learning is something really super significant, which is that there are some things that God wants us to do for other people, and there's some things that he wants us to do for ourselves. There's some burdens that we should pick up and carry for others, and there are some things that are loads. It comes from Galatians chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll turn there. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I love hearing those. Come on, let's get those Bible pages turning. Galatians chapter 6. I have no wisdom to bring to you, but I hold in my hands right now the very words of God, which have every truth you could possibly ever need contained in their pages. And we're going to be on one particular page in Galatians chapter 6. This series came from these words that Paul wrote that I preached last week. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one test his own work, then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. And what we learned last week is that there are some things in life that are burdens that are too heavy for a person to carry. When a person is caught in sin, it is like being in a room with one door and the door is locked and you don't have the key. You cannot get out of it alone. Like weight is on top of you that you can't push off of yourself. It's a burden. And so if you have a burden in your life or you see someone who has a burden near you, you should be the one to restore a gentle repair, to bring a spirit of gentleness to help them pull that weight off of themselves. When you are bearing another person's burden, what you are doing is you are fulfilling the very law of Jesus Christ, do you know? But at the same time, Paul also says there, do you see in verse 5, that each one of us have to bear our own load. It isn't just that there are burdens that we need to lift off each other. There's also this idea of personal responsibility, that there are some things that God wants me to take care of for myself. Primarily, we talked about it last week, but it's worth mentioning every single time, that there is nothing that you can do to improve your standing with God other than faith in Jesus Christ. And no one can do it for you, no matter how much they love you, no matter how much they prayed. You see, this is so important. There are some things that are burdens, and those are things that we should be looking to carry or to lift for other people. And there are some things that are our own load that we need to deal with responsibly. And Paul continues this idea all the way through the next few verses. He continues this idea all the way through the next five verses, which we're going to look at today from God's word. So we're going to push forward now. That was by way of review. Now we're pushing a little further forward. If you're ready, say I'm ready. Here we go. Verse 6 says this, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. If you're filling in blanks, that's the first blank. I must carry my spiritual leaders with encouragement. This is falling under the category of a burden. That is something that we must do for each other. Let the one who is taught in the word, or taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. That word there, share, in the middle of verse 6, is the same word that is used for the word fellowship. It's the idea of mutual relationship. So when someone shares God's word with you, you know what you should do? You should share something back with them. And what you should share is what it says right there, all good things. Now, sometimes when Paul talks about what we should do for those who are in spiritual leadership or authority, it's talking about maybe something financial, or it's talking about something about giving. That's not what this is talking about. That word, that phrase there, all good things, it's the same idea as good tidings. It's happy cheer. It's encouragement, which means fresh courage. For the people who share God's word with you, you have the responsibility to carry them by giving back the encouragement that allows them to keep going. Maybe I'll say it like this. The faithful believer sees encouragement to the teacher as a necessary response to faithful teaching. The faithful believer sees encouragement to the teacher as a necessary response to faithful teaching. We're blessed here at Harvest. We've got a lot of people who faithfully bring God's word to us. My dad, Pastor James, of course, Pastor Rick, Pastor Jeff out in Elgin, Pastor Mo, Landon, I suppose, my brother also, I suppose, might fit into that. We're blessed, but you know what? The people who bring God's word on the stage and hold the microphone in their hand, I got to just tell you the truth. We get a lot of encouragement. I feel so blessed and encouraged. But there are a faithful army of people. In fact, we're here in Rolling Meadows today. There are a faithful army of people on this campus, in this church, in this building, who faithfully, through their work, share God's word. And I want to just take a second to put them in front of you. They're coming to the stage right now. And I want to take just, not just the tall guy, but everybody else is coming as well. And we want to take a second. We're going to express, we're going to bring this verse and try to bring it to a point of application for all of us. Now, I don't know, just while they're all coming to the stage, Pastor Kurt, he's one of my favorite guys. I love how tall he is, and I love how excited he is. But have you noticed that he's gotten into this pattern lately? Have you noticed that Pastor Kurt has gotten into this pattern of referring to people who attend Rolling Meadows? Do you know the word that he uses? He calls us Midonians. As though like we are citizens of Rolling Meadows, we come to church. I got to tell you, there are some lines that just, in my estimation, shouldn't be crossed. And that is one of them. In fact, we're not a voting church, but everybody's here now. Pastor Kurt, yeah, this is the third service. You know what I'm about. Yeah, can we just take a vote? All in favor that we don't refer to people who attend the Rolling Meadows campus as Midonians, as though we're some ancient civilization. All in favor that we're not doing it. All in favor, please say aye on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. Punishable hereafter by death. So, you're the best. I love this guy. So, do you see all these people? And there's been a different, some of them don't want to come up on stage in the third service. Some of them are off working and stuff. But in front of you, you see a group of people who are tasked. Their job, what they do every day is they just like this verse is saying, they share God's word with the people in this congregation. See, some of them who do it here, they do it with children, they do it with students, women, men. Some of them share God's word by making sure that the building is ready or the projects are done or the data is paid attention to. They're just standing one step back, making sure that the pastors can do what God has them to do. But do you understand what an amazing thing it is that these people give their lives to sharing God's word with children, with students, with adults? All around this church. But it's not just the staff. There's more than just that. There are people sitting up and down every row right now who lead small groups, people who teach in the children's ministry, who help with student ministry. If you're one of the people, in fact, who is doing something every week or you're part of a ministry as significant, you're a leader of a small group of some kind, would you stand to your feet as well all around the congregation right now? If you're a person who's teaching a class or leading a small group, they go, good, good. A few people in the last service refused to stand. Just scanning right now to see if I need to embarrass anybody. Now, these people, what this verse is saying to us, remember here, we're not just hearers of the word here at Harvest, we're doers of God's word. We strive certainly to be. Let the one who is taught the word, so if you're a person who's getting taught God's word, let them share all good things with the one who teaches. So I'm asking now, they're going to put a list of ideas on the screen. I'm asking every person who is part of this congregation to do something purposeful to share good things, to give fresh courage this week to someone who is intersecting your family or your life by the way they are sharing God's word. And please, like I was saying before, don't thank me, don't thank Pastor James. We're blessed, we get lots of thanks. It would make so much more impact if you would thank that person who's been hanging out with your 17-year-old daughter, trying to get her to listen for 3 years straight, or the person who's in the children's ministry, one of the people on this stage. Take the time, take the energy, take the effort. Got it? Okay, I'm going to ask Pastor Kurt to pray a prayer of thanks, and I'm going to ask him to use all words that we all understand.
I'll
just be... Okay, here you go.
Father, those of us that have the opportunity to serve you by bringing the message, your word to God's people, we want to say thank you for the privilege and honor of serving your name in this capacity, to be a bridge from your purposes and your truth and your wisdom to people who need it. Blesses us tremendously. Make us useful and prosperous. Lead us forward in purity. Lord, your prophet Jeremiah said that you would bring forth leaders according to your own heart. We want to be those shepherds. We want to be those leaders. And we thank you for a congregation eager to receive leadership and shepherding from your word. We are privileged, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's express our thanks for all the people standing and all the people on the stage. So, that's one. Carrie, your spiritual leaders with encouragement. Galatians 6:6, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. But the scripture continues now. In verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, if Paul takes the time to make sure that we know that we shouldn't be deceived, that stands to reason that this is something that is very easy to be deceived about. He says, don't be deceived. He also says, God is not mocked. That word there, mocked, is the idea of turning up your nose. Like, I'm too good for this. A food critic at Burger King, it's that kind of idea. Do not be deceived. God will not have people turn their noses up at him. On this point, whatever a person sows, that will he also reap. This is now not a burden that we carry for others, but a load we have to carry for ourselves. Carry your path with vigilance. Carry your path with vigilance. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that will he also reap. This is a universal principle. In fact, can you say that's a universal principle? Good. All right. Now more than just those two who did a great job, but the whole room, we're going to gather together. This is a universal principle. Say that with me. Say universal principle. This is something that is more than just inside the walls of Christian faith. This is something that is true across all of God's creation, across the entire planet. What you put in is what you get back. Gravity is a universal principle, right? What goes up comes down. Those are all through the law of nature. Remember all those science classes that you dozed off through all through school, all those principles that you were supposed to be learning? It's a universal principle that what you put in the ground is what you get back. If you plant an apple tree in the ground and you wait around long enough, there is no chance that you are going to get anything other than an apple. It will not be an orange. It will not be a carrot. It will not be a cellular telephone. What grows on that tree will be an apple because that's what you put in the ground, right? If you plant a carrot, you're not going to get a squash is the point. It's just such a simple thing. It's from agriculture, but it is so true. And it is true that if you cultivate hatred in your life, you're not going to get back harmony. If you cultivate lust, you're not going to get back purity. If you plant deception in the ground, you're not going to get truth back. What you put in is what you get back. It's a universal principle, and it tells us that I should guard the path that I am going down. I should guard the steps that I'm taking. I should guard the place that I am going with vigilance. Job talked about this. This is Job 4:8. Is a great verse. It says, as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. If you're putting junk in, that's what you're going to get back. Paul talked about this, Romans chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He said, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. Do you see? So the path that I am going down, I must guard it with vigilance. It's as if to say, Paul is saying, I will soon become the sum total of my choices right now. Will that be a good thing? A human being is not much more or much less than the sum total of all the choices that I have made. Your body is the sum total of all of the health choices that you have made. Your relationships are the sum total of all the love choices and forgiveness choices that you have made. And very soon, before another 6 months goes by, before another 6 years go by, you're going to be the sum total again of the choices that you are making right now. So I wonder, are you going to be happy? Are you going to be joy-filled when you get to the end of the path that your choices are currently leading you down? The reason why Paul says do not be deceived is that it is so easy to trick myself into thinking that my future will be different than my present even if I don't change the choices that I'm making. How many people, if you were to ask them, how much are you going to weigh in 5 years, would say, less than I weigh right now, without any distinct plan to change anything? How many people would say, I'm going to have a better marriage, I'm going to have better children, I'm going to have a better financial situation than I have right now? What are you going to change? I don't know. The path that you are going on is taking you somewhere. So God's word is saying to you, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that's what they're going to reap. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Flesh is the word that is usually used in Scripture to describe the sin nature that still exists in the person who is in Christ. We know that in Christ we are free from sin. We are free from sin's penalty. We're free from sin's power, but its presence remains closed and it must continually be destroyed. Sin has a way of creeping back into your life, even once you are in Christ. So if you're sowing to that flesh, that sinful part of you, if the choices that you are making are pushing you down the path of sin, then when you get to the end of the path, what you're going to have, what's going to come up from the ground when the crop comes, is going to be corruption. That word corruption there at the end of verse 8 is the same word that means decay, old food. You know, when you reach in the refrigerator and realize, oh goodness me, we should have thrown that out a couple weeks ago. And then it goes right in the trash bag, and the trash bag goes right outside because it smells, it's nasty, it's corrupt, it's destroyed, it's bleh. That's what the person who sows to their flesh is going to get. So I must pay great attention to the path that I am going down. But the one, the verse continues, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sowing to the Spirit is what Paul was talking about in Colossians 2:6 when he said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, is that idea of I have chosen to walk by faith for salvation. Now I will choose to walk by faith for my daily life. But the one who sows to the Spirit, this text says, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. I am going down a path. Will I be happy with where the path is going to take me? And the thing that makes this so difficult, this is why it's easy to be deceived, is it's really easy to see the path that other people are going down, isn't it? If I was to tell you what's the problem with the path that your sister's going down, or the person that works in the office next to you, or heavens knows, your parents, you could list all the things that are problems, but it's really easy to not see the path that I'm going down, isn't it? It's easy to look at the workaholic husband and realize that he's going to get 10 years down the road with kids that don't like him and a wife that doesn't want him anymore. It's easy to look at the person living above their means and you're going where on vacation and with that much debt and say that they're on a path to financial ruin, but it's hard to see my own foolish materialistic choices. It is so extraordinarily easy to see the problems with the path of everyone else and to overlook where I am headed. So I must guard it with vigilance. I must pay great attention to where my feet are going, because each step in a bad direction is going to take even more effort to get back from. And the reason why it's so difficult is because we often think that we can sort of make a couple of extra choices to get back on the right path instead of turning. You know that thing when you're in the car and you get lost? This is like the number one place of marital strife, is right in that moment, right, where you realize that you're lost. And we're so blessed because we're in the generation of GPS, but still somehow you can get lost, you know. And you know how, like, so you miss the exit. You're driving down the highway, and you miss the exit. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. And she says, we missed the exit. And first instinct, no, we didn't. I actually know a faster way to get there than the GPS would tell me. I'm smarter than the computers. I'm going to go down to the next exit. Or you miss the turn, right? And the thought is, instead of just stopping the car, turning back the other way and getting back to the right path, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to turn right, and then I'm going to turn right again, and I'm going to turn right again, and I'm just going to keep turning, and then somehow I'm going to end up back on the right path. Do you know that trap? So many of us are living our lives that way, thinking, this pattern of behavior blew up the first marriage that I had, but it's going to work this time. The last three jobs that I had didn't work out because the boss was a jerk in each case, but this time it's for sure going to work out. It's so easy to push all of the problems to external factors and lose sight of the fact that I am on the wrong road. I must stop the car. I must go to a different road. I must carry my path with vigilance. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now the text continues, the next section. Verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This verse has life-changing truth for every person listening to my voice right now. I must carry my obedience with endurance. So Paul is talking about the person who has sown to the Spirit. They are obedient. They are doing what God wants. They are living God's way. They are making wise choices. And now he is saying this, because this is where so often things start to fall apart. He says, now don't grow weary in doing good. That phrase there, grow weary, is the same thing that's sometimes translated lose heart. It means exhaustion to the point of collapse and surrender. So don't collapse while you're doing good. Don't give up. Don't surrender while you're doing good, because in due season, you will reap. That is a definitive. Only if you continue and do not give up. Carry your obedience with endurance. This is where most of life is lived, is between God making God's promise understood and the payoff of God's promise coming true. Most of life is lived on the in-between in the process, isn't it? Most of life is, I got to the front of the church and I promised forever. And we're still living and it's getting a little bit hard. It's process. I know, train up a child in the way they will go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. I got that promise, but right now I just want to wring their neck, to be honest. Don't leave me here. Come on now. It's that hard part, the part of process. Right now I'm digging out of a financial hole, and I know that I'm getting my money to God's house the way that it should be. I'm being wise. I'm living the way that God wants me to live. But it seems like the people who are living the worldly way are getting ahead. It's that thing. It's in between the promise and the payoff is the process. It's what Abraham had in between. You're going to have a son who will be a great nation and decades of infertility. It's what Noah had in the, you're going to build a boat and it's going to rain. And he lived longer than any person in this room has been alive, building the boat with nothing that you could see to show for it. It's Anna and Simeon, those people in the, you remember them in the story of Jesus, where they lived their whole life just kind of waiting around the temple for the Messiah to come? And their life was based around this moment of payoff. If you read their story in the Bible, it seems like what happened is Jesus showed up, they held Jesus in their hand, they were happy, and then they just walked to a funeral home and it was over. It's kind of like how their life went. Their whole life was waiting for the payoff, living in the process. And in the process, on the in-between, between God's promise and the payoff, we are so often tempted to change direction, to change course, or to give up. And the text makes it clear that you will in due season reap God's blessing if you obey God's law, as long as, the only caveat is, as long as you don't give up. You must continue the course. This is what Paul was talking about in 2 Timothy. This is at the very end of Paul's life. He's writing this as his last words. He says, he's made it to the end. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Anybody want to be there on that day? Come on, the crown of righteousness. The only thing for a person who loves Jesus Christ standing between them and the crown of righteousness is the giving up. Those who give up before the end show that they may not have had true salvation in the first place. And those who give up in the small parts of life before they reap do not see the blessing. If I lose heart, if I grow weary while I am doing good and I give up, I lose the blessing. It's all about finishing. It's all about making it to the end. The Chicago Marathon was last week. Anybody here by chance who, there's somebody in each of the services again. Anybody in here who ran the marathon? You, well done. Okay, anybody in here who didn't run the marathon? Okay, good, good. Okay, feeling a little better. Congratulations. But did you hear this? It's like crazy. I'm like on a 30-year streak of never completing 30 years consecutive. I don't want to break it now, you know. It's like I could do it, of course, but once you got a long streak going. Did you hear the story? There was this guy, Edward Hensley. Did you hear about this? And he was running the marathon. He's finished the marathon 9 times before. And so he's going for the 10th time of running the marathon, and he's doing pretty good, and he's making good time. And he makes it to 24 miles, right? The marathon, 26.2. He makes it to 24 miles. And at the 24-mile marker, he falls over, doubled over in pain like he's never felt before, because while running the marathon, he broke his hip. Right. 2 miles from the finish line. And a couple of the Chicago policemen who were helping work the race, doing what policemen so often do and too infrequently get credit for, were trying to help, and they see the guy there, and they walk over to him, and they say, "How can we help?" He says, "I want to finish the race." So we've got a picture of it here. They come up with this scheme that they're going to stand on either side of him, and he's going to put his arms around them and kind of put the one leg that isn't on the broken hip down on the ground, and you can't see it, but the policeman there in the yellow vest is holding a folding chair. And every 100 yards or so, they would stop and he would lay back and rest because he wanted to finish the race. It took him 4 hours to do the first 24 miles. Not bad. It took him 2 hours to do the last 2 miles. But nobody was standing there at the finish line with any critique of how long it took him to finish the race. Every person who's heard the story now across the church this weekend is not impressed by the time it took him to finish the race, but amazed by what? The fact that he finished the race. On the medal that you get put around your neck when you complete the marathon, they didn't put like a little asterisk that said, he finished the race, but actually it took him a lot longer than it should have, and he had to have some other people help him. No. Finished or didn't finish. He finished the race. And this is the truth of encouragement that there are some people in the house need to hear today. Some parents with young children in the home need to hear. Some spouses who are discouraged about the state or path of their marriage need to hear. Some people who have been working hard for a long time in a job or a career that it doesn't seem like it's going the direction that you want it to go. And maybe you're tempted to give up. I could keep parenting, but maybe I'll just hand them an iPad instead. I could keep working for the marriage, but maybe we could just settle into the separate rooms and the silent treatment. I could keep working to do things the right way, even though my boss never seems to notice it. Maybe I'll just start cutting corners. That's what everybody else is doing anyway. And God's word is saying to you today that if you are in the place of obedience, do not give up. Because if you give up, you are forfeiting the blessing that God wants to push into your life. You see, that's why it says there, do you notice? That's why it says there, in due season. Man, the Lord can be frustrating sometimes, can't he? Have you noticed that God's sense of when it's time for you to reap the blessing is a lot different than your sense of time when it's time to reap the blessing? Have you noticed that? That God's sense of timing is usually a lot different than ours. Our sense of timing is usually, how about now? God is the one who decides. That's the one way in which the farmers have it easy, don't they? They know plant in the spring, reap in the fall. But in God's economy, there sometimes is decades of sowing before the reaping, which is why we must not grow weary in doing good. Do not lose heart today. Have fresh courage today, because no one can keep being obedient for you but you. This is your own load, my friend. I'm sorry to say, you got to carry it. You can ask for help like the guy in the race did, and others would love to carry it, but nobody knows how close you might be to giving up. And you simply must, for the sake of those you love, for the sake of the God you serve, do not give up. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 24, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And when we get that crown of righteousness on our head, there is going to be no discussion of how many times you almost gave up or how long it took you to complete the race. There will only be this: if you made it to the end, you have the crown on your head. I must carry my obedience with endurance. So today, if you have a long-held pattern of sexual purity, but you're tempted to go the world's way because you've been waiting, it feels like, long enough. If you have a long-standing pattern of financial wisdom, but foolish people seem to be getting ahead. If you've been enduring in a relationship for a long time, if you are weary as a parent, if you have been faithful in ministry, if you have been steady in prayer, simply this: nothing may change in the way you feel today, but you can choose to not give up today. Carry your obedience with endurance. And lastly, now let's look at the last verse here in our text. Carry your spiritual family with generosity. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Carry your spiritual family with generosity. Paul ends this section by saying, now, one, as you have opportunity is like this window of time, as there is still breath in your lungs. Do you remember when you were really young and people used to say to you how fast life feels like it goes by, and you rolled your eyes? And then as you get older, every decade that passes, things just seem like they go faster and faster and faster. Does anybody, like, doesn't it feel like 20 minutes ago that the Cubs were in the playoffs the last time? You turn around, who's with it? It just feels like it just goes faster. That's what's kind of being referenced here. Paul says, so as you have opportunity, like while there is still this window of time, while you are here right now, one, do good to everyone. Second, especially those who are of the household of faith. It's like there's a report card. I made a little report card for us. This is the Galatians 6:10 report card. So the failing grade is do no good to anyone ever. Right? That's the F. The D grade is some random good to random people. This is the, you give a couple bucks to that person asking for something outside the grocery store at Christmas. You don't even know what it's for. This is the, you give to make yourself not feel so guilty. It's just the little bit, the whatever's at the edges. Random good, random people. That's the D. The C grade, not so bad. Been there? You been there? Yeah, I've gotten a C before in my life. I guess nobody else. Cool. We're starting a new series next week. It's on honesty. So the C grade is doing good to Christians only. Please don't be that. Please, I'm begging you. Pastors, sometimes we give each other a bad name. Don't be that person that when the kid comes to the door and asks for, if you'll buy that bag of M&Ms, you know, for their baseball team, don't be the one that asks if it's a Christian school. So that matters. I would never give to a public school. Those are secular institutions. Don't be that person who only gives to Christians only. Do you see it? Paul says here, do good to everyone. Sometimes we have an opportunity to shine that light out. That when it says there, do good, by the way, when it says there, do good, it means both God's truth and also God's goodness. So sometimes doing good to everyone and the household of faith means telling someone the truth, and sometimes it means showing them God's goodness. So that's the C grade, is good to Christians only. The B grade is just being good to everybody all the time. So as you have opportunity, some of us have more than others. This is just, yes, always good, whatever. But if you want the A grade, if you're the strongest position possible in obedience to this verse, it is give good to everyone and my absolute best to those who are in God's family. That's what is being said to us here. And it's easy to fall into one extreme or the other. It's easy to be so focused on the Christian, my church family, my people, that I lose complete contact with the world. And it's so easy to be out there in the world doing good that I can neglect God's family. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. This idea of opportunity is in my mind today because this morning I was on my way into church and stopped for a cup of coffee and I had my notes. I had a couple things I wanted to kind of tighten up from the message last night. And so I was all prepared to sit and the guy starts making the coffee behind the counter and he starts asking me, he looked at me and he said, "Well, you look pretty dapper for a Sunday morning. Why, where are you headed to?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor and I'm headed to church and they have to look at me for an hour. So I thought, you know, a multicolored shirt, maybe just give it a little interesting something to look at." And you just got to know this because this is what I walk around with every day. Usually people in the universe just out there, their desire to talk to you once the phrase "I'm a pastor" comes out of your mouth, their desire to talk to you goes from like maybe a 5 out of 10 to a 0 out of 10 instantaneously. "Oh, so you're a pastor. Anyways, I got to go to the bathroom." You know, it's usually the way that it rolls. But on this particular occasion, this guy said to me, "Oh, a pastor? What kind of church?" I said, "Well, we're a non-denominational Christian church, but as far as church goes, the label on the outside doesn't matter. What matters to us is we teach God's word and we show God's son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him." Now, I got to be honest, part of my desire to I just went straight there because I was actually kind of wanting to work on the sermon. And so usually once you go with Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through him, is another kind of, okay, well, that's been nice. I'm going to focus on the coffee now. And the guy looks at me and he says, "Huh, yeah, my parents are Hindu and I grew up going to a Hindu church and I've never really heard anything about that. Could you tell me something about that?" I said, "Well, actually, you're going to have to come to church. I don't really talk about this stuff out. It's only really when I'm on the clock am I willing." I promise I didn't say that. That would be so like the worst thing in the universe. But so I just told him, you know, the same thing as we've taught here. I told him a little bit about my story and we exchanged phone numbers. I go to this coffee shop all the time. I told him I was going to tell the story in church. So it was like a way to get him to watch the sermon. You know, we'll see what happens. But the point that I'm making is you go through life like this all the time, like you and I do. And I'm telling you, that is the 1 in 100. The opportunity to share God's truth, to tell of his goodness is the 1 in 100. Most times it never comes our way. What Paul is saying here is when the opportunity strikes, when that pitch comes right down the middle and you have the bat in your hand, do good to everybody. Tell of God's truth and tell of his goodness. And especially when it's of the household of faith. This is what we mean by that. I got a couple graphs. We're getting close to being done. Stick with me here. So let's just say as it pertains to my finances, what we've taught and believed here is that my first belongs to the church. 10% off the top goes to God. We're on this idea of carry, and you would be astonished to know how few people there are that give here at Harvest and how far it goes. Some of us, there's some people who do a lot and it carries it forward for everyone. There's lots of people who are just kind of going along. That's the first thing is the 10% belongs to God. The second part, now we're into what Galatians 6:10 says. "So whatever I have now, after all the bills are paid, so then," the verse says, "as we have opportunity." Some people have a lot extra, some people have just a very little bit extra, and some people are in between. But whatever it is that you have, the next part should go to your spiritual family. Maybe there's a ministry that you were blessed by, you have a friend who's a missionary overseas, there's someone who you sponsor a few children is with your you sponsor a few children in another continent, whatever the thing might be, the next amount that I have should be towards something that is a God-given spiritual family, part of the household of faith, the family of faith. And then after that, there should be some left over to give to the world. There's nothing wrong with the Red Cross there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's great, it's proper, it is biblical, as long as it is in the right order. Again, maybe next, another application is what I do with my time. So my very best time that I have should go towards my family. That's the first, after I'm, you know, work and all the other stuff. But the best time belongs to the family. Don't be that person who's in 7 small groups and neglecting their children as a result. That is not biblical by any stretch. My best time belongs to my family. But then the next amount should be for my church family. The next amount should be for my church family. I should have whatever the opportunity of time, there's people with 5 little children under 5 that are part of the church and they get like 5 spare seconds a week. In those 5 spare seconds, like someone from the church's Instagram post, I suppose, if that's all you have. But there are some of us that are in a stage in life where we have a lot of time And some of that, a lot of it, the best of it should go to the church family. Our church is awesome in this way. And then whatever's left over, there should be some time left to do something for the world. You see, that's the application of this text. Do you see it? So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. That's the last blank. I must carry my spiritual family with generosity. Carry my spiritual family with generosity. So we've talked here about four different kind of areas. There's four different components here. The Apostle Paul often does this at the end of one of his letters. He just starts throwing off different ideas. And in all of these, there is this line that carries through all of them of the idea of carrying. Brothers, if anyone among you, he starts and he talks about bearing one another's burdens, and then he talks about bearing your own load. And so we've seen four examples here. First, you should carry the burden that your spiritual leaders need encouragement. You should take the time. If a person is bringing God's word to someone that you love or to you, you should take the time to thank them. Take the time to give them fresh courage. Second, you should carry your own path. This is your own load with vigilance, right? That no one can control the steps that you're taking other than you. You should carry it with vigilance. Pay close attention to make sure that you are going the right direction. So close attention that you should carry your obedience with endurance. Do not get sidetracked into thinking that giving up or taking a different path is going to make things better. In due season, you will reap if you do not give up. And finally, you must bear the burden of your spiritual family needs you, needs your generosity, especially those who are of the household of faith. All of that, now this is the golden moment, isn't it? This is the golden moment where you can see that the band is starting to congregate behind me. You can feel, if you're looking at your watch, that the time is almost over. And this is really the part now that's the most important. For those of us who know God, who love Jesus Christ, it is so amazingly easy to nod along in agreement with the truths of a message like this while doing literally nothing to put them into practice. Let's just take a moment. In a second, the ushers are going to come. We're going to take the offering, and Heather's going to sing again, and then we're going to read it. We're going to sing another song, and we're going to be out for sure on time. But just for a brief moment here, what from God's word today brings conviction to you that says to you, I need to do something proactive? There's something that needs to change, or something that I must do. If there is not a conviction that leads to action, we have sadly maybe wasted our time this morning. Today, if you hear his voice, I pray that you do not harden your heart like they do in the rebellion, but rather put God's word into action. As I pray, and then Heather sings in a second, I encourage you to look over things that you've written down or the things that have come to mind from these texts and to do something in action. We're going to continue and go a new direction next week. Pastor James is going to be back. It's been a privilege to preach God's word to you right now. Would you bow and pray with me? So we say to you, Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your truth. We're thankful for an opportunity to give. We're an opportunity to be generous. This is a moment, a window of opportunity, and we pray, Lord, that we would all take it. Pray, Lord, that you would push us past the ease of agreeing with your word and doing nothing with it towards living it out, putting it into practice. I pray for some today who, frankly, are in ministry and are very discouraged. And I pray that this message would bring some fresh encouragement through some of those that they've been sharing God's word with, that would get them ready to fight on even further. I pray for some today, Lord, who are their life is taking a direction that is going to soon bring them to ruin, that you would stop them right here and that a change in direction would happen. You are not mocked. These principles are true. I pray for some today who are flat out tired and on the verge of giving up, of throwing in the towel on the marriage or the parenting or the job or the obedience. And I pray, Lord, that you would give fresh courage today to not grow weary, but to continue in faith, as hard as it may be. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to do good to one another. It sounds like such an easy and trite thing, but what an opportunity our words and our resources and our time has to make an impact in this world. Pray that you would inspire us to do it in a fresh way. In all these things, We say, Lord, that we trust you, we believe you, and our hearts are for you. In Jesus' name, amen.